This is a CBC podcast.
Hey there, I'm David Kalman in for Pia. Every Wednesday, we bring you a bonus podcast, one hand-picked story from the week's round of the Sunday Magazine that we think's definitely worth hearing or hearing again. Of course, you can hear all our stories on the full podcast that we put out on Sundays. It's on the CBC Listen app. All right, here is this week's highlight. When it comes to battleground states likely to decide this year's U.S. presidential election, Michigan certainly at the top of the list. Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee, eked out a victory in Michigan in 2016 by just over 10,000 votes. In the minds of many, it was Michigan that elected Trump that year. Joe Biden, who's seeking re-election with Democrats, did carry Michigan in 2020, but as the November vote looms, polls show Michigan is once again too close to call. And one group of voters in particular is likely to swing, with huge impact for the state and the country. They are blue-collar workers. Sunday Magazine producer Pete Mitten recently spent some time in Michigan's biggest city to hear what's on workers' minds there. Here's Pete with his documentary, Detroit Takes the Wheel.
Voting started at 6 o'clock this morning, so we started with all the sweets. A lot of hostess, yeah, a lot of hostess and stuff.
At a union hall in Detroit, it's election day, of a different kind. They're electing union reps. It's a chilly April morning, but here in the parking lot outside, there's a tent and a fire pit, and it's a party.
Well, that's the way you're supposed to do it, right?
We're in River Rouge, an industrial part of the city that's home to a massive steel mill, the Great Lakes Steelworks. And these are steel workers. Eric Miller with baskets of Twinkies and cupcakes.
Get you some sweets.
And Scott Labine manning a table full of hot food.
Well, we got walking tacos and hot dogs. You want something to eat?
I'd never heard of a walking taco.
Walking taco, you take the bag of Doritos, you bust it up, you cut off the end, you put in some taco meat, cheese, lettuce, pico. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Highly recommended, by the way. But of course, there's a bigger vote looming over everything in the United States right now. One with much less of a party atmosphere. And when it comes to the presidential elections, America's waiting to see which way blue-collar voters, like the steelworkers here in Detroit, will swing. For generations, going back to the New Deal and Franklin Roosevelt, working-class voters have been the Democratic Party's base. But election after election has shown that's changing. Andrea Hunter is the USW 1299's current president. We met in her office inside the Union Hall.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
I'm well.
A place that feels like it's from a different era, with its old wooden paneling, plastic 70s furniture, and faded worker solidarity posters on the wall. I asked her how she thinks these steel workers will vote this fall.
It's pretty mixed. My membership is 50-50.
Is that right?
Oh, yes, for a fact. Yes, 50-50.
She thinks fully half will vote for Trump, despite what she sees as some pretty good reasons for workers to support Biden.
Biden is the first president in decades that brought American manufacturer back here. And a lot of people don't realize that. And it's not being spoken enough. So that's one of the reasons here. Michigan, as I tell everybody, is purple. And we're purple because we go back and forth.
Back outside at the fire pit, I asked a mill worker named Bob Kemper what the top issues are for him when he thinks about this fall.
Well, I'll tell you what, and honestly, number one thing that's important to us and it's important to every American, and the lie that they tell you otherwise, is jobs. Yep. Once you have a job, you're fat and happy, and you can feed your family, then you look to get into all the other issues. But jobs is number one, and it's always been number one, and it always will be number one.
The steel mill here shut down its blast furnaces and laid off more than 1,000 workers 4 years ago. And for the 500 or so who are left, their jobs are far from guaranteed. The mill's parent company, U.S. Steel, is in talks to be taken over by a Japanese company.
Right now, we're against that. We're against that for multiple reasons. I mean, obviously, we believe that steel should be produced domestically by domestic ownership.
Donald Trump says he'd stop the deal, while the Biden White House has said it's giving the deal, quote, serious scrutiny. It's one thing weighing on the minds of the workers here, but not the only one. The decision they'll make this fall isn't simple. A few minutes after speaking with Bob Kemper, I find myself speaking with another Bob Kemper.
Bob Kemper, that's my son. Oh, I was going to say, I thought he was Kemper. Yeah, we are. Actually, our first name's Marion. Very good. Just like John Wayne.
Bob Sr. is retired, but he worked at the same mill.
Spent most of my career was there. Me and my buddy Dave Ewart, we worked the swing turn together for 20-some years. Now we're both retired. We got property up north. Life is good.
That's nice.
Got 26 acres between us.
Did you catch that? Bob and his buddy Dave, who worked together at the factory for 20 years, have cottages next to each other now in northern Michigan. He's living the dream. And he told me he's voting for Biden, no doubt about it. He's an old school Democrat. But for folks like his son or grandkids, that dream of putting in your time at the factory, then retiring up north, well, it's disappearing. And that's one thing that's been driving workers to Trump. I asked the union president, Andrea Hunter, who's 1 week away from retirement herself, how she feels about the Biden-Trump rematch on the horizon.
You worried about this fall?
Of course. Terrified. Terrified.
Yes, sir. You here for the meeting? Oh, hey, what's up, Virgil? Excuse me, what's up?
In an election year, 6 months is an eternity. It's also no time at all. And so campaigns here are kicking into higher gear now.
Good to see you, Keegan. Yep. Go ahead and sign in.
It's about 7 p.m. on a Wednesday night, and the Northwest Detroit Democratic Club is holding a meeting to plan for the election. Fabian Hill helped found the club about a year ago.
What our mission is we are to inform and educate electors about important issues that will increase voter participation in the Michigan Democratic process. Let them know where they go vote.
As we speak, she's setting tables and chairs out around the room, an old storefront, while a couple dozen people file in for an evening of speeches from community leaders and politicians. Fabian's an auto worker.
I work for the Stellantis warehouse, which is the Mopar warehouse. We pick parts and send them out to the depots, and they get shipped overseas too.
And she's a United Auto Workers Union member. So she was on strike last fall. It was a historic work stoppage that yielded a historic contract for workers and the industry. It also made history by bringing Joe Biden to the picket line, a first for a sitting president.
That was just awesome sauce in an election year, you know. He was actually hugging one of our 1248 UAW members, so we thought that was awesome, you know.
Fabian's also benefited from a major Biden policy, student loan forgiveness.
I had student loans and interest just sitting there and adding up and adding up. So once I got the job with the UAW, I was able to make my payments. And on time, just seemed like it wasn't moving. The needle just wasn't moving. And then the president was working his magic and doing the things that happened. And sure as my name, 30 days later, I had that congratulations letter saying, you know, you're no longer responsible for it. And I was like...
With the loan forgiven, her credit improved. And she was able to take on some long overdue repairs at her home. It's meant a lot to her and other working-class African-American voters here in Detroit. So has a new policy capping the price on insulin. But she's afraid the message isn't getting through.
People ask, what have the Democrats, I've heard conversations, people ask, what have the Democrats done? And you'll hear people say, nothing. And the first thing that comes out their mouth, Trump gave us money.
And to be clear, that was COVID payments?
Yes, that was that.
You might remember the controversy in 2020 when Donald Trump had his name added to the stimulus checks mailed out to 35 million Americans. It was unprecedented to include the president's name on the checks, but it seems he knew what he was doing.
And that's the only thing that stuck in their head is what was given to them, you know. And if they only were so cognizant of what's actually going on, the underlying of things, they might really change their mind.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good. I was going to ask you, how do we do this? Do you want to...
And of course, it's not just the Democrats gearing up for the fall.
Well, it might get a little warm if I put the windows up, but we'll try.
This is Terry Bowman, another auto worker.
I've worked for Ford as an hourly auto worker since September of 96, so about 27 and a half years ago.
I met him outside a Denny's restaurant after his shift, and we sat in his white Ford F-150 truck.
I grew up in a union household. My dad worked for Ford. I had a couple uncles that worked for Ford. I had cousins that worked for Ford. Siblings that worked for Ford.
But unlike his parents, Terry tells me he's always been a Republican. And back in 2016, when Donald Trump first came on the scene, he says he had no problem getting other blue-collar workers, traditional Democrats, to come out and support Trump.
When we would do rallies and I would announce myself on stage as a blue-collar auto worker, the place would erupt. And we knew that there was a lot of blue-collar auto workers, not only auto workers, but blue-collar workers, period, that maybe have not voted for a Republican in a long time, but was willing to cross the aisle and vote for Donald Trump.
Terry tells me he's always resented being forced to join a union as an auto worker. And he hated NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which Donald Trump campaigned against and renegotiated with Mexico and Canada. Beyond that, though, Terry says that Donald Trump just gets working people.
There's something about Donald Trump that I don't think the other side understands. This is a man, he may be a billionaire, but he has a way of talking to the everyday man that people like. Perhaps it's because he has spent his career on job sites talking to electricians and steel workers and people who are building his buildings, but he's very comfortable and very practiced at talking to the blue-collar type of worker. And workers seem to really respond to his bluntness, to the fact that he's not a well-voiced politician.
John Selleck is a longtime Republican operative in Michigan. He ran Mitt Romney's presidential campaign here in 2012, and he sees something deeper at work in the way Donald Trump has connected with blue-collar workers in his state.
Other Republicans had talked about tax issues, welfare, whether that was fair or not, or who got welfare and who did not, things like that. That messaging had been there, but Trump took it and essentially put it on steroids. He not only amplified their anger back to them, but he told those people who became those voters, I not only hear you, it's okay to be mad. Let it rip. Be mad about anything and everything. That's why we see him at these rallies able to go for over an hour and have the crowd still paying attention, because he's got a litany of things that sometimes I think the mainstream media just thinks he's complaining about, but I think it's safe to say he knows what he's doing. He's talking to the concerns and the frustrations and the sadness and the anger of a whole lot of blue-collar workers who didn't go to college, who did not have to go to college because of the kind of jobs that existed here. They weren't looking to be rich. They were just looking to have vacation time, maybe to have a small cottage somewhere by the time they retired, and they moved up north. That's what they were looking to have. It wasn't asking a whole lot. And all that was being taken away from them. And Donald Trump was not only telling them, I heard you, but unleashing them to be angry about it. He unleashed an entire movement.
There's a new issue in this year's presidential elections that's critical for Michigan working class voters. Something new to be angry about. It's an economic issue that's sort of becoming a cultural one too. EVs. Here's Terry Bowman again, the Trump-supporting Ford worker.
If people want electric vehicles, the automobile companies are going to know that. And if they're not offering them, then they're going to get hurt in the long run. It's when you mandate it and when you force it, I think, is where the chaos starts.
The Biden administration doesn't call its EV policy a mandate, but it has brought in strict new emission limits and subsidies that are pushing the market toward electric vehicles. On a recent swing through Michigan, Donald Trump warned that EVs will be, quote, a bloodbath for Michigan workers. And that's a point that Terry echoes.
I do think workers are right to be fearful. There are thousands of jobs in engine plants, tens of thousands of jobs in engine plants and transmission plants, not only here in Michigan, but around the country, that with these electric vehicle mandates means just thousands and thousands of job losses.
EVs are made with fewer parts, and battery plants have been opening in the U.S. South, in areas with less union presence. But when it comes to exactly what the EV transition will mean for workers, well, it may just be too early to tell. I spoke with Phoebe Wall Howard, who covers the auto industry for the Detroit Free Press.
All automakers are in a shakeup at this time. But at this time, while there is concern about job loss, we have not witnessed any job loss at all.
Still, she says, workers don't know how to feel about the EV transition yet.
You have people who are very optimistic. You have people who are very pessimistic.
And will that uncertainty in the auto industry and all the Michigan jobs connected to it play out at the ballot box this year? Well, Phoebe, who's a sixth generation Detroiter herself, says absolutely.
We cannot assume anything in terms of blue collar voters being pro Biden or pro Trump. We can't even assume it by day because it pivots all the time. It's a live animal moving.
At Stellantis, the company that makes Jeeps and Ram trucks, there have been ongoing layoffs in recent weeks, owing in part to the huge capital expenditures the company has made as it becomes more focused on EVs.
Yeah. What happens, Stellantis is doing a lot of layoffs recently.
That's the company where Fabian Hill, the Democratic organizer we met earlier, works.
There's a chance that, more to come. I just heard at my facility.
And when we spoke, she just found out her job could be on the line in just a few days.
So then we just heard, too, that they were meeting today to lay off potentially another 2025 at the warehouse, yeah.
So you're waiting to hear this week?
Yes, I'm waiting to hear that this week. Uh-huh.
What will it mean for you?
Well, if it is, I'm just going to stay busy and work harder until my political family is trying to get people registered to vote.
What's your family situation?
It's just me. My son's about to get married. I have no grandbabies. Well, I have two coming into the family, but hey, I'm all right. I'll be okay. I got my little furry doggy, and hey, we'll be fine.
Well, electric vehicles may be a flashpoint this year, but according to Andrea Hunter, the Steelworkers Union head, the real reason that blue-collar workers, and white men especially, are flirting with Trump again is the same as it was in 2020 and 2016. Reasons that few are likely to say out loud.
They cannot, I can sit there and tell you why I support Biden. I can sit there and tell you because I'm a political person and I like the way he's voted on the side of women and the side of labor. Okay? But, they don't want to do that. No, because, see... Because they really don't want to tell you the truth. The truth is, it is, like I told you, racism, sexism. Because when you ask them questions, this is what I can't get a Republican to do for me yet. I mean a Trumpster, because a lot of Republicans don't support Trump. Okay? This is what I can't get him to do for me yet. What has he done for you and your family to make you want to vote for him? He speaks his mind. On what? You know what I'm saying? They really believe they're feeding into his misogynistic and racist point of views.
It was a serious challenge to speak with Republicans in Michigan, and in particular, folks who had left the Democratic Party to vote for Trump. Even Terry Bowman, the Trump-supporting auto worker, only agreed to speak with me after dozens of calls and emails and texts. When I learned about an election planning meeting of local Republicans taking place after hours at a gun range in Detroit, I sent a note saying I'd like to drop by. I didn't hear back, but I knocked on the door anyway.
Hi, is it Ann?
Yes.
My name's Peter. I sent a note to you last week. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Now's not the time.
Okay. I might just hang out, and as people leave, I might ask if they'd be willing to chat with me for a few minutes.
Not on property.
No.
I can't have it.
He was told to leave.
Yeah, no.
On my property with my federal firearms license, it can't take place on the property. Yeah. You want to hang out at the sidewalk, you can hang out at that city property.
No, I would just assume you leave.
And pushed out the door.
Heard me?
Nothing.
On the sidewalk outside, I asked if any of the people filing out from the meeting would chat about their views. One woman, who refused to go on the record, told me that she'd been a Democrat most of her life, but felt that the party had left her. She said she didn't love the Republican Party either, but felt that Trump was better on the economy, on foreign policy, and on, quote, loving America. Only one person would speak on the record about why she's voting for Trump.
Yeah, well, you know, they say the things are getting better, but they're not. And that's a big fat lie. You know, I don't know where they're getting this from. It's probably getting better for the, you know, for certain classes of people that are in politics and playing these games. But for the average person, it's not.
Patricia Farmer, who's 80 years old and black, used to be a Democrat, too.
Oh, years ago.
What made you change?
Well, the Lord put it in my heart that it was the right thing. I mean, look at it. You know, I can't go along with all that crazy stuff, you know. Black people are going to be voting for Trump, and that's why they want to get rid of him.
A survey from this spring showed that 17% of black Americans would vote for Trump today. That's up from 8% in 2016 and 12% in 2020. And that's something of a concern for Michigan Democrats, like Wayne County Commissioner Jonathan Kinlock.
The entire state, when you look at it from a political lens, the state is red. And to that little area in the southeast corner of the state of Michigan, full of black folks, turn it blue.
I met with Kinlock at a UAW session rallying auto workers for the Biden presidential campaign. And of all the speakers that afternoon, by far the one who got the biggest reaction from these workers was Reverend Wendell Anthony, president of the Detroit NAACP. His message? Workers need to stop voting against their own interests.
Who by their voting records do not support us? You better hear what I'm saying. It ain't about personality. It's about policy. It's about those policies that they vote for that directly impacts you and your family. We need to stop being stupid and electing people who do not support us. And once they get in office, you never see them again. Supporting people that are against workers. Supporting people that come and hire counterfeit workers.
Before I left Detroit, I met once more with Fabian Hill.
So today is people's last day. I think they laid off three.
I met her after her warehouse shift had ended to see if she got a layoff notice that day.
So no, I wasn't affected this go round, which is a good thing. Out here knowing there's really not as good money paying as the automotive industry, you know, and I was very fortunate to be able to get in here and keep this job. So feeling okay, but I still feel for the other people though, you know.
That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, I checked in with her again, and her shift had been changed. She says if more layoffs do come, she's sure now that she'll be next. But she's still hopeful it won't be permanent. Fabian says she's still on Team Biden, but there's a lot of road to cover between now and the election this fall.
Pete Mitten is a producer here on the Sunday Magazine. His documentary was produced with support from CBC's Audio Doc Unit. You can find all the stories we bring you each week on the Sunday Magazine over on our website, cbc.ca/Sunday. I'm David Common. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.